This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat is an amazing human being, a very special guest, a brilliant founder and CEO, great technology guy of Red Piranha. It's Adam Bennett. Adam, welcome to the hot seat.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having us.
So you are the progenitor, the brains behind Crystal Eye Platform, really how you got off the ground and going, but you also have created this incredible consolidated security platform to provide a single pane of glass?
Yeah, that's right. I started the project back about 8, 9, 10 years ago now. Essentially, it started off looking to scale myself, and that was about implementing detection, extended detection capability and extended protection capability in what was then the traditional UTM firewall space, I suppose, when I looked at the controls that we needed to implement from a holistic point of view. I thought, well, the best way to do this was in infrastructure, and I wasn't happy with the technologies that were out there. Let's just say there's frustrations every time I went in to do an incident response. There was logs missing, or there was just not enough data, and I really was looking for ways to scale myself. And the company was then formed in 2015. We then went to market 2018, 2019.
That's wonderful. And you also have added the capabilities of an incident response team, a team that parachutes in and helps solve problems.
That's right. Gartner now calls it what integrated service delivery wrappers. I call it human machine teaming. It's one of my most favorite parts on the technology. While we do have a very robust and multiple control spread throughout the platform, one of my favorite parts is that integration with our industry experts. I mean, universities here in Australia, for example, at the moment, put the cybersecurity number of team members needed to do a holistic program at around about 200 plus. I mean, what organization could afford to manage that amount of specialists? And what we're able to do is give that expertise and that capability to our customers at the push of a button. So one of my favorite parts about the platform is that exact thing. If we look back at breaches over the last 10 years, nearly every one of them, every one of these major breaches that's cost hundreds of millions of dollars has had an incident or an alarm or an event that's been ignored. And that's because the process of that escalation, even if there was mandates involved for retainers with IR firms, the process for that escalation was so onerous that the 50-50 line ball call is often ignored. You know, what we need to be able to do and what we've done at Red Piranha is really made these efficiencies so seamless and the integration so seamless for customers that we deal with all of these. So out of 100 times, 99 of them are going to be false positives, but to be able to deal with these quickly within the hour, efficiently and cost effectively, we catch then that one that does turn out to be the $100 million breach, and we're able to deal with that and minimize that loss and risk for the customer, essentially.
Adam, that's amazing. And you are on every continent now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. We have customers on every continent. We're growing as a company. We'll be coming to America. We do have customers there already and partners in the United States, but we're looking to expand further over the next 12 to 18 months in the United States and traveling, obviously, this month with RSA as well is a big opportunity for us to expand on that continent. But we have customers on every continent, even Antarctica.
That's amazing. Now, the cyber criminals and cyber hackers and terrorists and nation state attacks, they're getting worse and worse every day. Meanwhile, the complexity of the solutions that people have, it's creating too much noise. The signal to noise ratio is ridiculous. So you had just said, finding they already had detected it, but nobody acted upon the detection. How can you solve that problem? It seems so complex lately.
Yeah, it is. We see two things happening there, and Red Piranha is a world leader in threat intelligence in the world. There, we're part of the Cyber Threat Alliance based out of Washington. We were the first company in the Oceanic region to be part of that, and we're a world leader in the contribution of IOCs in that program. There's two things going on there. We see APTs, advanced persistent threats, grown out of obviously the state or the geopolitical situation now. That's quite well known. But we've also seen financially motivated ransomware gangs now been in business for 10 years. And like any industry, once you've been at your job for 10 years, you can master that. And that's what's happened here. They've become sophisticated in their own right. We've also seen them team up with state-sponsored groups as well. We've seen war being financed by this now. So the amount of sophistication, the volume of attacks as well at that sophisticated level has increased such that the risk is now ballooned out for everyday Australians and Americans and everybody in the world, both individuals and at the enterprise and business level as well. So we really need to, one, increase our visibility. We've seen networking's outpaced, network speeds outpace scanning capability 6-to-1. That's been a massive problem. So we're actually dropping traffic or not dealing with traffic. We've seen traditional platforms out there not have the capability and the visibility needed to detect sophisticated and advanced threats. So when we have things like EDRs being bypassed, we then need NDR or good strong TDIR, threat detection incident response programs in place. Red Piranha really specializes in hunting APTs. It's something we do well, it's been inbred in our DNA from day one. And we really pride on ourselves. We've had a lot of success with the defense ecosystem here in Australia through our early days as well, where we pride ourselves on hunting advanced persistent threats, and that's baked into the platform. And that really comes from having a holistic program. If you have the defense in depth that you need through that control deployment, what's missed in one control set can be picked up on the other. And that's a really important place to be. The other thing is having that increased visibility. The problem is once you start increasing that detection capability, you're right, you can get an information overload. And this is where having experts deal with that information overload through you and through a platform that's been designed to have that human machine teaming deliver this for a customer. You can actually remove that overhead from yourself, and we pick that burden up for you through services like managed detection and response and managed threat intelligence, which is now a mandatory requirement for ISO 27000 series. In Australia, we have the AS, Australian Signals Directorate Essential 8. It's now mandatory in that as well. So the benefits of including threat intelligence and detection capability are now mandatory across compliance frameworks as well. We've known about it in the industry for a long time as far as being important to detect advanced threats and persistent threats. We now want to be able to bring that to everyday organizations.
That's wonderful. And we've talked about the reactive side of cybersecurity, but you guys at Red Piranha are much more proactive and even going on the offense than most companies I've seen. You can offer services that include vulnerability detection and patch management and other things. Like, I've even heard you can do CTEM, continuous threat exposure. But can you talk about the let's find the holes and fix the holes and harden it before the bad guys get in?
Yeah, look, it's part of that defense in depth strategy, right? It is literally needed. A continuous threat exposure management program is something once you get past that initial deployment, we work with our customers. Again, it's that ability to have those experts on demand through the platform, which allow this kind of maturity, this mature security program to be delivered for a customer. And we do that via, yes, vulnerability, including vulnerability management in the overall platform. But we also see increases in asset management happen through the consolidated platform. We're able to contextualize that information across cloud, endpoint, and network, so we can detect and run policies around assets that aren't meant to be on that network as well, for example, but also be able to contextualize information across the whole stack. And that's really important, because what we get from that then is the ability to being in line and in the control plane to deploy things like a moving target defense. So during that CTEM or during that vulnerability or that exposure detection, we're able to deploy immediate protections. One of the tricky things, I suppose, in vulnerability management, and anyone who's run vulnerability management programs will tell you that getting that down to be an instant process, remediation is tricky in some. We've got backwards compatibility. You've got legacy IT systems, IT, OT systems, which can't be remediated instantly. Well, by putting things like virtual patching, managing traffic flows through zero trust, and not just a buzzword of zero trust, but actually controlling secure zones and conduits into those assets, we're able to essentially run that continuous threat exposure management, greatly reducing the attack surface. But also, once we put those protections in place, We use this policy and this CTEM program to drive detection efficacy. It's really important, making things simple. So putting up a honeypot, for example, can be done at the click of a button and some simple policy. It's not a whole new detection. That's a whole new technology implementation. You're utilizing the same technology that's already there. We're just including some more policy. And so you don't have to go through engagement processes and new technology buying processes. It's just there. And then you just work with the teams to go, right, well, how do we deploy this? So you're removing that engineering overhead as well for deploying a new technology. And you're putting the engineering overhead into the actual security outcome component, which is really important. And it's something we need to be doing as an industry. And that's spending our time on the security outcome, not the technology working outcome, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, Adam. And another interesting thing I'm sure you have an answer for is so many companies can't prove due care and due diligence for regulatory compliance. They've had layoffs. They have less IT staff than ever before. Maybe they've end-of-life some of their cybersecurity solutions because they had too many and it was making too much noise. So can you come in and how long does it take to get in there, help them out? How quickly can you be up and running? And what can you do to help them prove due care and due diligence for government regulations?
Well, it's a good question. And traditionally with our partners, we try and stay away from the rip and replace model in that sense. We can come in as a TDI program on top of already implemented technology stacks. Some of these organizations out there, I mean, we've got technology stacks which have been deployed over 20 years, right? They could be a bit of a mess and it could be a large project to change any of that. So we work with our customers first, often to come in at NDR level. We can deploy immediately. We can work with our infrastructure teams to deploy across, multiple countries, sort of rollouts. We could be single office, cloud, and on-prem as well. We have flexibility. We've released products with Intel, for example, in the SASE space. So we've got the flexibility across our products to deploy in any environment. Can be done immediately. And there's already an immediate uplift in detection and then monitoring, which we can deploy. And of course, including that threat intelligence in the stack immediately, which is really important. And as I said before, a mandatory requirement and compliance. From there, we can start to expand on other controls with the customer over time. And this is an important thing because security is like riding a bike up a hill, right? As soon as you stop, you're going backwards. So it's a continuous improvement process. But from there, we can work with the customer to say, look, well, you've got a gap here, you've got a hole here, or this is needs filling, and we can look to expand that security offering as we go on through that CTEM program with the customer.
Is the CrystalEye platform kind of the heart of all of this, and how quickly is it deployed?
Again, depends on the customer, but yes, CrystalEye is the heart of that. We're able to deploy or instantly. It's push of a button. Integration into the SIM and the SOC being a consolidated platform, we've already done that hard work for the customer. The cybersecurity mesh architecture, which sits in the back end, is as a service. So customers don't have to go build that or don't need 12 engineers to go build that. That's already built for them and we offer that as a service. And that lowers the TCO as well. The total cost of ownership is essentially reduced because, like I said before, we're spending the money and the time on the security outcome, not the problem of engineering just to get the products working together. And that's a real important spot because a lot of organizations that I've walked into in the past and fixed SIM or built SOCs for, a lot of effort has gone into just making those technologies talk to each other first before we even get to the security problem. We're able to plug and play setup, and then we spend our time on policy enforcement, detection efficacy, engineering, to get the security outcomes that we want.
And do you generate reports that can be used for due care and due diligence for PCI, GLBA, HIPAA, high tech, and the SEC's got a lot of pressure on public boards now saying, what are you doing to secure your organization? I have a feeling the output from your consolidated platform must be amazing information to prove due care and due diligence.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about, again, security outcome and process. So once you have those processes in place of the security output working, you can then take that data like we have and that becomes, well, it's easy to show these things in the works essentially. So we run continuous improvement through SOC programs. We have ECSO, trademarked ECSO programs, which is a digital version of the vCISO, where we can work with CISOs to help them and give them the capability. We take a lot of and give them a lot of assurance in the back end there that they have access to the experts to help them do their job on demand. And of course, yes, we work in developing custom reports. We work, I've spoken personally at board meetings for customers as well, where they've had, they wanted things clarified. We give assurance letters as well for assurance, where we can say, yes, this customer is doing these programs. And we have a platform which allows, you know, infrastructure teams to also manage multiple deployments as well. And we have a platform for partners to manage customers as well. One of the things we've been working with our partners here in Australia over the last number of years and around the world is building out a platform which allows them to deliver or transition between being an MSP, a managed service provider, into a managed security service provider with us as their trusted back end. They don't have to make that investment into the different areas. They can transform into a managed security service play and also still have the separation of duties, I suppose it is, with us in the back end, where the end customer is still getting it's confident in the assurance that the auditing processes and vulnerability testing and other things are being managed in a three-way partnership over a two-way partnership, which wouldn't have that assurance level.
That's excellent. What a smart way to deploy your platform for even the SMEs. You know, 80% of GDP in the US comes from small to medium-sized businesses who probably wouldn't have found you or couldn't afford a solution like yours otherwise, but as an add-on to their MSP, that's brilliant.
Well, I thought if we can solve the problem, and Australia the same, I think 85% of Australian businesses are SME, I thought if we can solve the problem for the SME, we're going to solve the problem for enterprise as well. And that's been true. I do a lot of work here. We do a lot of work in Australia with the defense ecosystem. And you find a lot of those organizations are small businesses. Some of them don't even have IT or managed service providers in the mix. So we have to, when they come to us first, because they've been directed by defense to uplift their security control program, you know, we then recommend partners from our partner ecosystem that have gone through the process. So it is a new spend for some of them, but we're able to take those multiple controls that defense is saying, look, you need to get here. They're starting from zero a lot of the time, and the platform becomes a perfect, and the only platform available in my knowledge in Australia for this, becomes a perfect platform to say, right, we're giving these A, B, C, D, and F controls to this customer in one package. They don't have to go outside and deal with five different vendors, which, you know, they're not going to do. They can get on with their business. And of course, everybody in the supply chain, then defense, the tier one, you know, tier one engineering firms that are hiring the second tier are all, you know, satisfied that all those controls are being met. And it raises the bar across the board. And we need to do this across the world, America as well. The UK is making major shifts in how this works as well at the moment.
If I were a Fortune 1000, I wouldn't want to live without Red Prawn as a solution provider. Can you work with the big players? Do you work direct? How does that work?
Yeah, we tend to work obviously a little bit more direct with the larger enterprise. They have internal teams. But again, the CISOs, the CISOs could come to us in those larger organizations. And then, you know, there's university studies now in Australia which put, like I said, that amount of cybersecurity roles in an organization well over 200 now. There's a number of different specialties needed to deliver a holistic program. The CISO can come to us and fill those gaps, get that assurance, that trusted partner in the back end to work with and have, through the human machine teaming, get the experts needed to essentially take a bit of weight off their shoulders. And it's on demand and cost effective. So instead of having to go out and build an internal SOC, which, you know, 80% of SOCs are prone to failure in the first 2 years, and there's a large investment, they can work with us both for the full SOC capability or even in a hybrid model where they can build some of that internal capability out and we can help them build that internal capability out as well as a process. We can help with vulnerability management. We can help with risk management and internal auditing. We have certified lead auditors in the organization as well. So we really can work with large organizations as that trusted partner. And we have companies, multinationals around the world, being on every continent as well, we can help with you know, multinationals that are on multiple continents around the world.
You know, there's two kinds of large enterprises, CISOs I've talked to that you sound like a perfect fit for. Manufacturing, they're lucky to have 10 people on their cybersecurity team, and it may be a huge manufacturer. You know, what a vacuum, what a hole, what a high risk for manufacturing and OT. And the second are organizations that have offices all around the globe in places the CISO is not going to be traveling to. So, can you talk about how you'll fill the void there?
Yeah, and an important segment you brought up, manufacturing. We've seen a massive increase in manufacturing getting targeted over the last 12 months. It's, as the sophistication of those attackers has grown, they obviously see manufacturing as an easy target. One, because the stacks are complicated in those organizations, often with a mix of enterprise and OT. The disparate nature of the locations of these organizations, too, like you said, can make it really open or more holes can be found in that. But the biggest trick for manufacturing and why they've gone after this segment is how long can you stay down? You know, if I can shut down, trucks rolling out, if I can shut down that machine, making a product, what does that actually cost? You know, we've seen ransoms in Red Piranha for $50 million, for example, where they've shut down that organization's ability to operate. Now, if that's over a week or 2 weeks while you're negotiating with these types of attackers, what is the cost of that? And can you afford that? What we need to be doing here is making sure that the attack doesn't equal that, and that can only be done by reducing the dwell time. There's no such thing as, 100% hack proof. Anyone telling you that is lying. Any vendor who says that, what you want to be doing is reduce that loss, reduce that. So we detect that early and we have the systems in play to respond to that early. And then we can reduce that $50 million ransomware to some small work to remediate that. And that's the aim that you want to do, reduce the risk. We're able to help with that part. That's what we specialize in. We love hunting down the APTs and we love being able to detect them. We guarantee we detect all known malware and CNC and ransomware families. And that's what we do for our customers.
Adam, that's incredible. Is there anything you want to talk about with our viewers or listeners that we haven't yet covered?
I'm excited to get over to RSA and be there this year. It's been a couple of years. It has been a challenging time through COVID and other parts of the world, and it's to be my first time back in the States since 2005. So it's a few years now. I'm looking excited to get back there and catch up with everybody.
That's awesome. Adam Bennett, you're the founder and CEO of Red Piranha, found online at redpiranha.net. Folks, if you want a consolidated security platform, if you want a team to work with that's there for you to get you one step ahead of the latest incident and reduce the time to detect and respond, as Adam said, you've got to join him now. Go to his website and partner up as quick as you can, redpiranha.net.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.